Scripture reading for this evening's lesson will be from Paul's epistle to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Now, if I have to stay awake, you do too. So I told somebody a while ago, I did well until I went to the dessert table, and that kind of put me over the top. But I'm ready to preach this afternoon, and I trust that you are ready to hear the Word of God. And I tell you, I really enjoyed being with you today and enjoyed so much the singing. Told Mike a while ago, man, y'all have a lot of talent here, and you are blessed so much with talent in singing, song leading, and it is apparent to me that you like to sing, and that's as it ought to be. We're singing songs of praise unto God. We're teaching and admonishing, edifying one another through the singing of these songs, and we should want to do it. It's not just a matter of the fact that we're commanded to do it, though we are, but what a privilege it is to be able to come together and to sing these wonderful songs, blending our voices and our hearts together. Just imagine that it is 2 o'clock in the morning and a busy day of work is just a few hours away. You have been tossing and turning since you've been in bed because your head is full of worry. And you know you're not going to be fresh on the job. And now you are worried because you can't quit worrying and get some rest. And then finally you do fall off to sleep, only to be wakened by the alarm clock, it seems, in just a matter of minutes. And you know, it may not be a question of whether or not you've ever had a night like that. It may be more of a question of when and how often. But you know, Jesus, when he preached the Sermon on the Mount, as recorded in Matthew chapters 5 through 7, he did say, "Do not worry." And he said it a number of times. Reading now in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, Jesus said, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Jesus said, do not worry, and he said it several times there in that reading. Verse 25, he said, do not worry. Verse 28, so why do you worry? Verse 31, therefore do not worry. And then the last verse of that chapter, verse 34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow. And yet it may be that though we are disciples of Christ submitting to his teaching, that we go right on worrying. It is a command not to worry. It was read a while ago in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, be anxious for nothing. And Jesus said, do not worry. You know, I also want to say by way of introduction that maybe we need to draw a line or a distinction between legitimate concern and sinful worry. Oh, we have legitimate concerns. Legitimate concern, that's good. Sinful worry is not good. The Apostle Paul had legitimate concerns. He mentioned it in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28, when he talked about the various perils in which he had found himself, the various persecutions that had come his way. And he said, besides all these things, he mentioned my deep concern for all the churches. Paul had deep concerns. He had legitimate concerns, and so do we. But when does legitimate concern cross the line into sinful worry? I just want to take some things that are mentioned here in this reading in Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34. Mention from this passage some things that if we will apply to our lives will help us to deal with the problem of worry. Now, first of all, remember to put God first in your life, and this will help you to deal with worry. In this very passage where Jesus said, do not worry, he said in verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Many times when you find in the Bible the word kingdom, you can think rule. And so it is here. Seek first the kingdom of God, the rule of God. Folks, we need an undivided loyalty to the kingdom or to the rule of God in our hearts. And the reason that I said we need an undivided loyalty to the rule of God is because of what he said in this immediate context. We started the reading a while ago with verse 25, but in the verse before that, Matthew 6, verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So the first part of the verse, no one can serve two masters. You have to choose. The last part of the verse, you cannot serve God and mammon. You'll notice that Jesus did not say in that verse, you should not serve God and mammon. It's not what he said. He said, you cannot serve God and mammon, or material riches, that's what mammon is. He said, it is an impossibility. You cannot do it. And the Lord or the master of your life is either material or spiritual in nature, but it cannot be both. And so therefore you're going to have to choose where your loyalty will be. Where's your commitment? We need an undivided loyalty, I said, to the rule or to the kingdom of God in our hearts. Now, we need then to choose our boss. Who will our master be? Well, he mentioned laying up treasures on earth and laying up treasures in heaven in this immediate context. And we just sang a song a while ago based on this passage. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You want to know where your heart is? Well, where's your treasure? And what are you laying up for? What is it that's really important to you? When Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 19, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth," he's not teaching there that as the disciples of Christ, we must take a vow of poverty. And when Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth," he's not teaching that it is wrong to save up for retirement or for old age. But when Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth," he is issuing a warning against putting the emphasis on that which will ultimately be lost. Why in the world would we emphasize in our lives things that are eventually going to be moth-eaten or destroyed by rust? Things on this earth that people seem to be paying so much attention to are temporary. They're not eternal. So make spiritual gains your treasure. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Well, I'm going to make a statement right now that I think everybody will agree on this, and then we're going to build on that. I think we'll all agree with what I'm about to say. When our minds are consumed with worry over earthly things, then our minds are going to be distracted from God and from all that is lasting and of real importance. We'll all agree. We have to agree on that, don't we? Now, if we agree on that, then maybe we will agree on this. When our minds are consumed with God, and Jesus did say here, where he said, "Do not worry," he said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." And when our minds are consumed with God and his kingdom, when our minds are consumed with things that are lasting and of real importance, then our minds are going to be distracted from things on this earth that people normally worry about. That's going to help us with the problem of worry. We're going to be distracted from those things because our minds are consumed with God and with things that are of an eternal nature. And then you have the promise there in Matthew 6, verse 33. "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things," that is, these things on earth that people worry about, "all these things shall be added to you." And so that brings me to the next point, and that is to help deal with worry, remember to throw your worries on God. Now we're going to return to our text in Matthew chapter 6 in just a moment. But now I want us to go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. And I know this was the scripture reading, and let's go back and look at it again. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Peter said, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." He said casting all your care, your worries upon him. You know what casting means. It means throwing. If you cast a fishing line out into the water, that means that you're throwing that fishing line out into the water. Now, the reason that Peter says that we are not to keep our cares and our troubles and our worries to ourselves, but we are to cast or throw them on God, is mentioned in this very passage. 1 Peter 5, verse 7, "Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." He cares for you. That is, God has regard or concern for his creation. And therefore, remember to throw your troubles, your cares, on him. Isn't that what Jesus is teaching here in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6? God has regard or concern for his creation. And so therefore, do not hesitate to throw your worries on him. Let's look at it here. Matthew 6, verse 25, you have an argument from the greater to the lesser. Matthew 6, 25, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Jesus says, you know, God's already given us the greater thing. He's given us life, life itself. When Paul went to Athens, we mentioned this morning. He went to Athens, Acts chapter 17, found the city given over to the practice of idolatry. He said, you know, you people don't know the God that I serve. I've come to town to tell you about Him. He's the God who made the world and everything in it. And He's the God who gives to all life, breath, and all things. Now, this God, He's already given us life. He's given us the greater thing. Then don't you think we can count on Him to supply us with the lesser things? Things that are needful to sustain our lives here on this earth? What is that? That's an argument from the greater to the lesser. He's already given the greater thing, then why wouldn't He give us the lesser things? Why can't we trust Him to do that? And then in verse 26, there is the reverse of that. An argument from the lesser to the greater. Verse 26 says, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? You see, he starts off reasoning from the birds, and then he ends up with man, human beings created in His very image. And he says, if God provides for the lowly birds, birds are part of His creation. If God provides for the lowly birds, then don't you think we can count on Him to provide for us, human beings created in His very image? And then in verses 28 through 30, you have another argument from the lesser to the greater. Verse 28, so why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? The grass of the field, or the lilies of the field, understand, was used for kindling in that time and in that part of the world. Now, if God clothes with such beauty that which serves as fuel for man, then don't you think He can be counted on to provide for man who is served by the fuel? He provides such beauty in His creation. The lilies of the field, the grass of the field. Don't you think that He cares for His creation? Don't you think that He cares for you? But notice what He said in the last part of verse 30. Oh, you of little faith. Last part of verse 30. Oh, you of little faith. Folks, a failure to cast or throw our worries and our cares on God is a demonstration of a lack of faith or trust in God, our Creator. In the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Philippians 4, 6 and 7, Paul said, be anxious for nothing. How many things should we be anxious about? He said, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. There's the remedy for being anxious. And that is going to God in prayer. And he mentions supplication, which is a form of prayer. Supplication is a form of prayer, which is a crying out to God, saying, God, help me. It is making request of God. And then what's the result of that? He mentions it in the very next verse. The result of going to Him in prayer, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything pray. Go to God in supplication, making request of God. And the result is that the peace of God will come into your life. What's the peace of God? Well, peace means a calmness, a tranquility of the mind that is really the opposite of anxiety or worry. And why is it called the peace of God? It is because it is the peace, the inner calm, the tranquility of mind that God provides. In the book of Romans, chapter 15, verse 13, Paul said, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. There's that word again, peace. Fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Joy and peace. Now, you know, joy and worry just cannot coexist. Joy and worry cannot live together in the same mind or heart. How could they? How could we have true and abiding joy when we're eaten up with worry and anxiety? How could that happen? It can't. But while joy and worry cannot live together in the same mind, joy and peace can. Peace, the opposite of worry, an inner calm, a tranquility of mind. But where does that come from? How do you get that kind of peace? Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. It comes through trusting in God. Again, I say to you that a failure to cast or to throw our troubles and our worries and our cares on God is a demonstration of a lack of trust in God. God cares for His creation. Then here's another thing that will help you to deal with worry. Remember to live one day at a time. Again, we go back to the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, where Jesus said a number of times, do not worry. And how did He conclude that section? Matthew 6, verse 34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And when Jesus said there, sufficient for the day is its own trouble, He's saying, you know, you've got trouble enough today without adding to today's troubles the worries of tomorrow. There are four things I want to say now about remembering to live one day at a time. The first thing that I want to say about remembering to live one day at a time is, and it's the obvious thing, don't be constantly living tomorrow in your mind. In other words, don't wear yourself out with the worries of tomorrow, or you're not going to be able to deal with today. God wants us to live today. He wants us to live now and to deal with the troubles of today. Now, there's only so much we can do about the troubles of today, and the rest we must leave with the Father. But don't wear yourself out with the worries of tomorrow. Remember to live one day at a time. A second thing that I want to say about remembering to live one day at a time is, perpetual worry about tomorrow paralyzes us. In other words, it just renders us inoperative. William Barclay said, there may be greater sins than worry, but there is no more disabling sin. Now, I don't know if I agree with the first part of that when he said there may be greater sins than worry. The reason I say that is because I'm not into categorizing sin. Big sins, little sins, mortal sins, venial sins, as the Catholics say. I'm not into categorizing sins. So when he says there may be greater sins than worry, I'm not going to touch that. But I do agree with what he said in the latter part of that statement when he said there is no more disabling sin than worry. I'm going to make a confession right now about myself. I'm not happy about this. But there was a time in my life a long time ago when I would sit at my desk in my office at the church building, unable to focus on sermon preparation, Bible class preparation, because I was just too stressed out about the worries of tomorrow. I'm not happy about that, and I'm trying to do a whole lot better with that. But the fact of the matter is, I was rendered inoperative. I just wasn't as productive as I should have been on that particular day because I was thinking about tomorrow. Worry today cannot solve the problems of tomorrow, but will just add to the problems that you have today. And when I'm not taking care, or when you are not taking care of today's business because of the worries of tomorrow, then folks, legitimate concern has crossed the line into sinful worry. For one thing, it may be that you are part of a family. It may be that you are a husband and a father. And besides that, you are a member of a local congregation. Now, because you are a member of a local congregation, there are those who are looking to you to function. And because you are a member of a family unit, there are others, a wife, children, who are looking to you to function. But I tell you, folks, when you're not taking care of today's business in your home or in the local congregation of which you are a part, or when you're not taking care of today's business in whatever area of life that God has assigned responsibilities to you, and you're not taking care of today's business in those areas because of the worries of tomorrow, then legitimate concern has crossed the line into sinful worry. So remember then, remember to live one day at a time, but then as a sub point, remember that perpetual worry about tomorrow, it'll just paralyze you. A third thing that I want to say about remembering to live one day at a time, there is a difference between worrying about tomorrow and planning for tomorrow. One is legitimate and good, and the other one isn't. Someone said, and I believe rightfully so, that Jesus here in the Sermon on the Mount, when he said, "Do not worry," Jesus did not forbid forethought, but fear thought. That's right. Jesus did not forbid forethought. By forethought, we're talking about planning and having legitimate concerns for tomorrow or even for the years that are ahead. He didn't condemn forethought, but he did condemn fear thought. What's fear thought? Fear thought is having a mind that is full of fears and anxieties about the future, as opposed to having legitimate concerns about the future. You know, I could just sit around all the time and worry about dying. What if I die? And what if I die today? If I die today, what will happen to Tracy, my wife, tomorrow? Well, I shouldn't just sit around and worry about that all the time. But I tell you what I can do. I can take out a life insurance policy. And do we see the difference between doing something, acting on our legitimate concerns for the future, and then just sitting around and fretting and worrying ourselves sick day and night over the worries of tomorrow? And then here's a fourth thing that I want to say about remembering to live one day at a time. Often, the troubles of tomorrow just never pan out. And that's why we ought to live one day at a time. Often, the troubles of tomorrow just never pan out. Somebody said, "Hey, don't tell me that worry doesn't do any good. I know that worry does good because things I worry about never happen." Well, it wouldn't have happened anyway. Just wasted a lot of mental energy. Mark Twain said a lot of things, but one of the things that Mark Twain said was, he said, "I've had a lot of troubles in my life, most of which never happened. And you know, that's the way it is with a lot of us. We've had a lot of troubles in our life, and most of them never happen. They are imagined. When was the last time you sat around and just worried about something that was coming up tomorrow or next week, and you just fretted about that, and you just about made yourself sick worrying about what was going to happen tomorrow or next week? And then when tomorrow or next week has come and gone, you know, it really wasn't that bad. And you just wasted a whole lot of mental energy. The troubles of tomorrow just many times never pan out. So, therefore what? Remember to live one day at a time. And that will help you deal with worry. And then there's this one. Remember that worry doesn't do any good. And you know, that ought to do it for us right there. It just doesn't do us any good to worry. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 27, Jesus said, "Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature?" You cannot, by worrying, add more years to your life or more height. You know, there's been some discussion, and you pick up some of the commentaries on the Gospel of Matthew, and you read the comments on Matthew 6, 27, and you may read a couple of different things about what is meant there. There are some who have the idea that what he's talking about is the span of life, how long you live. And then others, and myself included, thinks that he's talking about physical stature. But you know, my answer to that, my response is, you know, it really doesn't matter. Because you cannot increase either one of them by worrying about them. In other words, if I wanted to be a foot taller than I am, I tell you, I can't worry myself into that. And if my time on this earth is almost up, I can't worry myself into more years. I might subtract years from my life through worry, but I cannot add years to my life through worry. And you know, I'm not telling you anything tonight that you didn't already know. We already knew that it doesn't do any good to worry about things that are beyond our control. The hard part is applying what we know to be true. And if we could just apply to our lives what we already know to be true, and that is, it just doesn't do any good to worry about things that are beyond our control, then folks, we wouldn't do it. We wouldn't worry about these things that we can't control. Parents have a legitimate concern about training their children, bringing their children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And parents act on those legitimate concerns while there is time and while there is opportunity. But parents, if for some reason or another our children decide to rebel against our teaching, and they decide later in life to rebel against God, then parents, I tell you, we cannot worry our children into obedience. You just can't do it. I like to illustrate this in talking to young people as well. Young people have legitimate concerns about making good grades at school and act upon those legitimate concerns to make good grades. There's that a college or university into which this young person would like to gain entrance. There's this scholarship offer that's out there. So young people work hard. They act upon those legitimate concerns that they have to make good grades. But young people, when that A that you've been striving for, when you see that it is out of reach, I tell you, you just can't worry yourself into an A. I mean, when it's out of your reach, you can't worry yourself into it. And what I'm saying is this. Folks, if there's something out there that we can control, well, then let's act. Let's do what we can to control it. But on the other hand, if it's something that is out of our control, then why do we worry about it? Because which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to a stature? That's just out of your control. Jesus taught It doesn't do any good to worry about things that we just can't control. Now, if you can control it, that's another matter. Try to control it. Do what you can within the confines of the will of God. And then there's this, and that is, remember that it is the unbeliever's place to worry. Are you a Christian? Are you a disciple of Christ? Then it's just not your place to worry. And I believe Jesus taught that here in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 and 32. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. After talking about these things that people, things on the earth that people worry about, he said there in verse 32, after all these things, the Gentiles seek. Who are the Gentiles in this passage? Well, we might say it like this. Well, those who are not members of the church. That might be the way we say it today. Those who are unbelievers. Unbelievers. Those who are not members of the church. You said, they do that. They seek after those things. But it's like Jesus is saying in the Sermon on the Mount to his disciples, but you need a more spiritual outlook than them. And yet, sometimes you're acting like a bunch of unbelievers. You're acting like a bunch of Gentiles, all hung up on material concerns. It's like Jesus saying, you know, that's their thing to do that. The Gentiles. The Gentiles do that. And that's their thing to worry themselves sick day and night over things of this world. That's their thing. But it's not your thing to do that if you're a disciple of Christ. Your thing is to put your trust in the Lord. Oh, you have little faith? Don't you know that God provides for the birds? Then don't you think that God will provide for you? Remember, it's the unbeliever's place to worry. That's for the Gentiles. It's just not for us to do that. And then there's one last thing that I want to mention, and that is, remember that worry is sometimes self-inflicted because of sin. Now, I don't have a passage up there from Matthew chapter 6, but this is a point that I want to make outside that context and to lead into an invitation this afternoon. Sometimes we just do it to ourselves. Worry is self-inflicted because of our own sins. That is, we do what's wrong. We do what we know is clearly in violation of the will of God. And then we're guilty. And we know that God knows about us. And then we worry about that. And we worry about dying. We worry about dying because what if I die in this condition? I'd be lost. And besides that, after we have done that which is wrong in violation of the will of God, then we're constantly looking over our shoulders, wondering when our loved ones and the people that we want to respect us, wondering when they're going to find out about us and what we've done. So we worry about that. But if we are plagued with guilt and worry because of our own sins, and we need to understand that, that can be provided for on the basis of forgiveness by the blood of Christ. So Ananias, in Acts 22:16, asked Saul of Tarsus, a penitent believer, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Now, that ought to be appealing to someone who has not yet believed, but is now hearing the gospel of Christ for the first time. That you don't have to worry about that. That you can be free of guilt and the worry that comes because of the fact that you're in a lost condition. Having every sin that you've ever committed washed away by the blood of Christ through faith and obedience to the gospel of Christ. So arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. But now we all know that once we come up from the watery grave of baptism, that's not the end, that's the beginning. Romans 6:4 says, when we come up from baptism, now we're walking in newness of life. Now we have a life to live for the Lord. We said this morning, we're not above sinning once we become Christians. Though we're walking in the light, we're trying perfectly, and we're striving against sin. But when we do sin, what did we say this morning? What do we do about that? 1 John 1, verse 9. If we confess, repentance is implied, but if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And what that means is that every day that we live on God's earth as disciples of Christ, as Christians, that we can be guilt-free, never have to feel guilty, if we'll just comply with God's terms of pardon and walk in the light of His Word. Never have to worry about being lost. Never have to worry, because of the guilt of sin. If you think that the things that we've discussed this afternoon cannot help you with the problem of worry, then I suggest that you put your efforts where your doubts are. This list that I've got up here, that list will work to deal with worry. You know why that list will work? Because it's not my list. That's why. It's the Lord's list. It's just what the Lord taught in the Sermon on the Mount. And so therefore we need to put our trust and confidence in the Lord and what He said here in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6. Yes, this will help us to deal with the problem of worry because Jesus said that it would. Do you need to make application of last part? Are you guilty because of sin in your life? Then would you hear that question? What are you waiting on? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is Son of God? Are you willing to repent of your sins? To confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, the Son of God? Then why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Again, if you've made that start, but you have faltered, it's time for you to come back. Let us pray with you, to pray for you here this afternoon. Whatever your need may be, please come while we stand and sing.